Father, we bless you. This very night we ask, O God, for your power to permeate this atmosphere. We ask, O Lord, Father, for the victory that is ours to manifest. In the name of Jesus Christ, this very night, let every foe be vanquished. In the name of Jesus, let every resistance be broken. Let every opposition be troubled and be destroyed. In the name of Jesus Christ, this very night, O God, cause the heavens to open. Let the ladder of heaven fall in this place. Let angels ascend and descend. Let there be angelic activities and operations. In the name of the living Christ, so let it be, O God. Amen. Somebody put your hands together for Jesus. Shall we have a seat? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Put your hands together for Prophet Bruce Brown. He's among us today. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 This very night, I want us to go back to a subject that I started speaking on, which I entitled The Supremacy of Prayer. The Supremacy of Prayer. The Supremacy of Prayer. And tonight, tonight we'll take a different course. I will speak for 15 minutes or a little bit past 9 o'clock, which is 9:05. I'll rest over there. And I'll have some guys that I've been praying with on Saturday night. They will take over on a session basis, 10-minute session basis. Then I'll come back and then we shall pray for a few people and then we shall close. Amen. I am dealing with the subject, the supremacy of prayer. The supremacy of prayer. Why is prayer supreme? Why is prayer supreme? I'm talking about the part two of my continuation. Why is prayer supreme? Why is prayer supreme? Hallelujah. Prayer is supreme because it negates the ability of the natural man. It negates the ability of the natural man and it activates the potency of Almighty God. It activates the potency of Almighty God. Prayer is supreme because it negates the abilities of the natural man. It does away with the natural person and it activates the potency of the Almighty God. In other words, what I mean to tell you tonight is that prayer is able to do that which God can do. In other words, if God can do it, then prayer can do it. Because the reliance of prayer is not upon the arm of the flesh, but prayer rests upon the arm of the Lord. And God said that my arm is not short that it cannot save. Therefore, prayer is unlimited and prayer is not short. When I talk about the supremacy of prayer, I am talking about the potency of prayer. I am talking about the effectiveness of prayer. I am talking about the fervency of prayer. In other words, the day I pray is the day I lose my natural abilities. Listen carefully. The day I enter the posture of prayer is the day I lose my natural abilities and my natural capabilities and I enter into a supernatural ability. I hear me, someone. Prayer does not deal with the natural. Prayer only deals with the supernatural. In other words, a man that prays has no communion with the natural, but a man that prays communes with the supernatural. You see, prayer is not a dialogue between mortal men, but prayer is a conversation between a natural man and a supernatural being. I hear from someone. Are you hearing me, someone? Prayer is not a conversation between natural men. In other words, when I am talking to the King Charles, I don't pray to talk to the King Charles. Are you hearing me, someone? Prayer is not a conversation between natural men, but prayer is a conversation between a natural man and a supernatural being. In other words, the way I interact with the King Charles in the natural is not the same way I interact with Almighty God in the supernatural. I hear me, someone. Are you hearing me, someone? In other words, the conversation of the natural is translated. In other words, a man that prays immediately is transformed into the supernatural because his language is no longer a natural language. I hear me, somebody. The language of prayer is different from the language of mortal men, because the language of prayer is a language between a man and a supernatural God. I hear me, someone. I hear me, someone. In other words, when I pray, something happens to me. In other words, when I pray, I lose my natural self. Because when I am talking to the King Charles, I talk to him as a natural man, because he understands natural things. But when I am praying, I am dealing with things which are supernatural. I am dealing with things which are incomprehensible. I am dealing with things which are beyond the earthly realms. For the Bible said, we are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. So when I enter the posture of prayer, I gain a different dimension and a different perspective of life. My language is changed. The way I talk in the natural when I am in lack is not the same way I talk in prayer. Because in prayer, though I am in lack, I speak by faith. I pray by faith. I call the things that are not as though they be. I look into the natural and I see things beyond the physical realms. I see things beyond the natural realms. And I call those things out of the supernatural and I bring them into the natural to manifest. I hear me, someone. There is something about prayer. Albert Einstein one day was teaching, and one of the PhD students said unto him, he said, what is the next PhD dissertation for a student to investigate? Because it looks like everyone has written a research on a certain subject. And the student asked Einstein and said, what is the next thing to investigate? And I bet Einstein looked at him and said that someone must find out about prayer. I hear him saying, Einstein was not a Christian, but there is something about prayer that no matter how intelligent you are, prayer goes beyond the natural intelligence of a man. So Einstein himself was confused about the regularities of prayer. He was confused about the means of prayer. So he says, someone must find out about this thing called prayer. The supremacy of prayer. A man that prays is ahead of his time. Because prayer deals with the supernatural. A man that prays has entered the supernatural. A man that prays has advanced information drawn from the supernatural. Because the supernatural is ahead of the natural. That is why your dreams are mostly ahead of your life. A man that prays can buy into the mind of Almighty God and he can gain access. So therefore, prayer is the mandate to access the supernatural. Prayer is a mandate to access the supernatural. It is a mandate to enter. It is a mandate of invitation to enter the supernatural and to know the things that are beyond the natural realms. A man or woman that prays is not to be compared with his natural friends and colleagues. I am telling you that the difference between two individuals is their prayer life. I hear me, somebody.
The difference between two believers, the difference between two Christians is their prayer life. Check their prayer life and you can detect where God will take them tomorrow. Believe me, beloved, I'd rather have a friend who prays and is poor today than the friend who is rich and prays not. Because I know that the friend that prays carries advanced information. Information that will secure my life in the future. Because a man may be rich today, but he may crash tomorrow. A man may be rich today, but he may fail tomorrow. For the Bible said, woe is unto he that trusts in the arm of the flesh. But they that trust the Lord, they shall be like the Mount Zion. I came to tell somebody here today, if there is anything you must desire and try to attach yourself to, is prayer. It's prayer. The difference between the person sitting next to you is your prayer life. It's not their intelligence. It's not what they have and what you do not have. The difference between the two of you is your prayer life. Turn your Bible to James chapter 5, the verse number 17, and let's begin to investigate this case. James 5, the verse number 17. It says that Elias, who is Elijah, was a man. Somebody say he was a man. Someone say he was a man. Someone say he was a man. The Bible said Elijah was a man. A man subject to the same like passions as we are. There is no difference between you and I and Elijah. The Bible said that Elijah was a man. In other words, there was a controversy surrounding the humanity of Elijah. In other words, there were other people who looked at the portfolio and the resume of Elijah. They looked at the achievements of Elijah and they said, no, 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 we can't compare ourselves to this guy. He is not a man like we are. This guy is probably an angel. For the Bible said he was introduced unto us as Elijah the Tishbite. He had no origin, he had no parentage, no mother, no father. Nothing was told of us as to where he came from. His order was mysterious, but the Bible said that he appeared out of nowhere. And God said, show yourself unto Ahab. Are you hearing me, someone? The man came from nowhere and he began to change the rudiments. He began to change the activities of the heavens. He began to change the natural course. He began to move things around. He commands the rain and says, you will not come down upon the earth for 3.5 years. And the Bible said, he said, according to my word. And scripture said it was so. For 3.5 years, there was no rain. Why? Because a man upon the face of the earth made a decree and said, I deny the earth of rain for 3.5 years. And the heavens obeyed him. Who is this man? For the Bible said, one day he caught fire from heaven and it consumed 50 soldiers of Ahab. And he caught another fire and another fire. Another time he caught fire and it consumed a wet offering and drank the water out of the trenches. Another time the Bible said that this man Elijah, when he was about to leave the face of the earth, the Bible said he did not die and he did not leave the earth as Moses left the earth or as Enoch left the earth. For the Bible said that one day everybody woke up and Enoch was not. They just couldn't find him. But Elijah, they saw him depart the earth. The Bible said, having sent an escort, having sent a chariot from heaven. I don't know how it happened, but this man Elijah, who is he that heaven has to send a chariot to pick him up from the earth and back into the heavens? There was a controversy. There was a controversy whether this man is a man like you and I. Some of you read the Bible and you see certain characters like Elijah, Moses and the rest, and you tell yourself they are different, they are extraordinary. But the Bible said he is just a man. Bible said he is just a man, and not only a man, but a man such as we are. A man like you and I. He was not an angel, but he was a man. He was subjected to the same like passions. He had the same weaknesses, the same constitutions that governed us, governed the life of Elijah. He had fears, he had pains, he had emotions, he had suicidal thoughts. He ran away from Jezebel and all kinds of things. One day he said, God, take my life. I don't want to live any longer. He is a man just like you and I. The Bible said God found him crying. And God said, Elijah, what is the problem? Elijah said, I am zealous for you. I want you to do something. I am anxious for you. He is a man just like you and I. But James did not stop there. He said, and he prayed earnestly. Elijah is a man subject to the same like passions as you and I. But the difference between you and Elijah is that he prayed earnestly. Earnestly. And today I am dealing on the subject of fervency, which is translated as earnestly. The Bible said he prayed earnestly. The difference between you and the person sitting next to you is your prayer life. Elijah prayed earnestly. How do you pray? He achieved results because his prayers were earnest. He commanded the heavens and the heavens obeyed because he was earnest. He called fire and fire came because he was earnest. And today there must be a change in our prayers. There must be a different rules and a different way by which you and I pray. James chapter 5, 16. Let me go back to the scripture. Last time I spoke on the subject of effectual. Today I am talking on the subject of fervent prayers, of fervency. Fervency. Out of the same subject, the supremacy of prayer. Fervency. I have 5 minutes, so I'm going to give you points and then we're going to move on into prayer. Fervency. What is fervently or earnestly in prayer? What does it mean to pray fervently? The Bible said that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much. There are persistent prayers and there are prevalence prayers. There are prayers that persist and there are prayers that prevails. Are you hearing me, someone? Listen carefully. There are prayers that persist. Those are effectual prayers. They will not give up. They persist until the plea is granted. Effectual prayers are prayers that win. And fervent prayers are prayers that prevails at all costs. Fervent prayers are prayers that place a demand and will not go home until the demand is met. It is fervency. Fervency means it is heartfelt. Heartfelt. The Amplified translate it as heartfelt, continued prayers. In other words, it is consistency. It is consistent. It is importunate. It is earnest. It is earnest. So one, a prayer that is fervent is a prayer that is heartfelt. It is heartfelt. Now, before I can make you understand this, I want to bring you to my definition of prayer. That prayer is the condition of the heart. Prayer is the condition of the heart. How you feel is how you pray. Are you hearing me, someone? The displacement of your heart will determine where you place your prayer. Are you hearing me, someone? The condition of your heart is the determination of your prayer life. How do you feel is how you... That is why nobody can too roughly pray for you. Because no one can feel what you feel. You see, we can support you in prayer. We can pray with you, but we can pray for you. Are you hearing me, someone? Are you hearing me, someone? We can assist you in prayer. We can pray with you, but we can pray for you. Because no one understands your heart, or no one knows your heart except yourself. I hear me, someone. And fervent prayers have to do with the condition of the heart. It deals with the state of the heart, the posture of the heart. How do I feel within me is how I will pray. The sadder I am is how sorrowful my prayers will be. I hear me, someone. Are you hearing me, someone? The more desperate I am is how desperate my prayers will be, because it is the condition of my heart. The more burdensome I feel is how burdensome my prayers will be upon God. If the burden is upon me and I cannot let it go, then I will remain in the presence of God until the burden is removed. So it is the state and the condition of my heart. How I feel is how I will pray. Listen to me very carefully, that if prayer is the condition of your heart, there are certain things you do naturally. In other words, if your child is drowning and your child dies, nobody begs you to cry except you are a very wicked mother. Are you hearing someone? When your child dies, tears are spontaneous. I hear me. You go to a state in your heart where nothing can take you out of there and nothing can comfort you, and that is the state where fervent prayers go. If you are able to find yourself and convince yourself concerning your situation, if your situation is able to overpower you as though your child is dead, and you go to God in such a manner, and nothing can console you, nothing can comfort you except God meets the demand. Amen. It brings resource. The Bible said such a prayer avails much. It avails. It avails. Number two, it is the travail of the soul. It is the travail of the soul. Romans 8:26. Fervent prayers is the travail of the soul. It is not the lips that pray, but it is the soul that prays. There are realms in speaking, and there are realms in using your tongue. There are days when the tongue speaks naturally, and there are days when the tongue speaks supernaturally. For Isaac said unto his son Esau, cook me my favorite food, and my soul shall bless you. Not my lips, not my tongue, but he said, my soul shall bless you. In other words, I will pray out of within. Hannah said the other time that out of the abundance of my heart, it is coming from my soul. He said unto Eli, that Eli, I am not drunk, but I am praying a level of prayer, a realm of prayer that you have never detected before, that you have never been there before. I am praying from within my soul. So it was not the lips, because there is a period in life where you get to where your lips, your tongue cannot speak. Have somebody ever done something? I don't know, when we're kids, and you do something, they give you a big knock, boom. And when that happens, it's like a shock. And you are crying, your mouth is wide open, and you can see that your tongue is lying, like, you know, gravity has affected your tongue, and your tongue is suspended in your mouth. You are crying, but nothing is coming out. Your soul has taken hold of you, and you are crying out of your soul. So Hannah got to a point, a different realm in prayer, where her tongue, the Bible said, her lips were moving, her tongue was moving, but no words were coming. Because her soul has reached another realm in prayer. Her soul has reached a different place where the Bible said the priest could not tell. Listen to me very carefully. Until you are able to get to certain dimensions of prayers, you will take certain things in life for granted. And you are in fact, you think that we are telling you stories when we tell you that prayer can do all that God can do. That if God is able, then prayer is able, because prayer depends on God. Amen. Let me Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be what uttered. The Spirit itself. Listen to me. When you get to that level of prayer, the natural self disappears. The natural self is dismissed. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession. That is when you get to a different place in prayer. Listen to me. When you begin praying, it begins in your head. And some of you, you never come out of your head. Because as you are praying, you are watching everything around you. You have not gotten there. You are still in the natural. You are still in the natural. It is still myself praying. You have to come to a different level where the Spirit itself prays. Where you lose yourself in the activities of the church. Where you don't care who is there or who is not there. Where the travail of your soul cries before God and scream out within you with groanings that cannot be expressed, groanings that cannot be uttered, where you reach a place in yourself where you want to scream, but the scream will not come out, but you reach a point where you know you are in the same frequency with Almighty God. Hallelujah. Prayer is the travail of the soul, where the Spirit itself makes intercession. The supernatural takes hold of the natural man. The supernatural begins to pray and the natural man loses himself. I don't know whether you have gotten to that point here, because some of you, you are still mindful of yourself when you pray. Some of you, you are still careful for yourself. So the Bible instructs that when you pray, be careful for nothing. Some of you, you are too careful for yourself. You are washing your nails. You are washing your shoes. You are washing your hairstyle. You are washing your makeup. You are too careful for yourself. The spiritual man has not caught up with you yet. You are still in the natural facet, and you have not been able to tap into the realms of the supernatural to hear the voice of Almighty God. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Number three. Let me check my time. Groanings which cannot be uttered. Write down the scriptures. 1 Samuel 1, 12 to 16. I don't have time to go there. Elijah, 1 Kings 18, 42. The Bible said Elijah put his head between his knees. It is travail. He travailed. In the audience day, the women gave birth by travailing. They bow down their head between their knees. They don't lie down as they lie down today. I don't have time for this, but Now, three. Fervent prayer is a prayer that is what? Importunate. It places a demand and refuses to let go until the demand is met. I'm going to stop here. Turn to Lamentations chapter 2. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to discipline myself a little bit for you. Lamentation 2. So fervent prayer prevails. It prevails. The verse number 11. Now, if you ever want to know the problem of Israel when they were in Babylon, what they went through, you should read the entire book of Lamentation and the entire book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. But you do best to know to read Lamentation, because Lamentation tells you things which will make you understand the condition of Israel while they were in Babylon. It was a very terrible condition. There is no time to go through that and read the whole chapter. But the verse number 11, it says, my eyes do fail with tears. My bowels are troubled. My liver is poured upon the earth for the destruction of the daughter of my people, because the children and the sucklings swarm in the streets of the city. The verse number 12. In the city.
They say to their mothers, where is corn and wine? When they swoon as the wounded in the streets of the city, when their soul was poured out into their mother's bosom. 18 and 19. The verse number 18. Their heart cried unto the Lord. Their heart cried unto the Lord, O wall of the daughter of Zion. Let tears run down like a river day and night. Give thyself no rest. Let not the apple of thine eye cease. Let not the apple of your eyes what cease. In other words, continue to cry until your victory or your liberation come. See, fervent prayers is continuous. It is insistent. It is prevailing. It is importunate. It stays. It places the demand and does not quit until the demand is granted. Let me give you the last thing and we go to verse number 4. Let me give you 4 then we go. I think that will do us good. Fervent prayers places the integrity of Almighty God at a ransom. Fervent prayers places the integrity of Almighty God at a ransom. Now, when you read Deuteronomy 9, the verse number 20, Moses said unto God, when God said unto Moses that, let me go that I may destroy the people because they have sinned. They have turned against me and they are serving other gods. And then Moses asked God a question. He placed the integrity of God at a ransom. He took God at his integrity and said, what would the Egyptians say that you brought your children this far that you may kill them in the wilderness? In other words, your integrity will be tarnished. And so you cannot do that to yourself. And the Bible said, and Almighty God changed his mind. He repented of that which he desired to do to Israel. When you read Daniel chapter 9, several times Daniel said unto God, he said, for your name's sake, O God, save. For your name's sake, God, turn us. In other words, it is about the integrity of God. It is about the name of God. The reason why God would do it is because his integrity is at stake. You are a child of the kingdom. You are a citizen of the kingdom. And no queen upon the face of the earth, no king upon the face of the earth who allow their children, a prince, to be working in McDonald's or to be polishing shoes in Grand Central. It is against the integrity of the throne. And so you are a child of God. And tonight you can take the throne at a ransom. You can take the word of God at a ransom. Because as you speak and you call upon the name of God, are you hearing me? I say you shall not be disgraced. God will not let you down. He will not bring you this far to fail you. He will not bring you this far to leave us in the middle of the journey. I pray today, may the mantle of prayer, may the spirit of prayer descend tonight upon the sons and upon the daughters of God. I pray today that may your spirit be enlarged for prayer. May your voice be intensified in prayer. I pray today that your soul will cry to God. I pray today that you place yourself at a posture that the natural man cannot disturb you tonight. But you will tap into the supernatural and you will take hold of the things that are in the supernatural. It is my prayer today that someone will lose their natural self, that someone will enter the supernatural. It is my prayer today that someone will speak in the realms of prayer as though they carry the voice of God. For Isaiah 45, the Bible said, command ye me, command ye me. It is my prayer today that your status will change, your position will change. You will identify yourself who you are today in the name of Jesus Christ. You will pray like Elijah prayed, and your prayers will have results. Your prayers will bring a transformation, and nothing will change the order. May God bless you. May God increase you. Shall we be on our feet?